We have a song that we sing sometimes, Change and Decay, and All Around I See. O thou who changest not, abide with me. That song was just sung, I Shall Not Be Moved. There's a lot of things moving around in our day around us. There's a lot of things that we used to think would never change in our world, and it's changing fast. That's quite a testimony to say, by God's help, I won't move. I will have some convictions that I stand by, no matter what the world around me may do. We have one service left. And as I think about the services so far, they're all pointing us toward the future. We have no experience with eternity. It's going to take faith to believe it's out there and that it has no beginning and no ending, and I'm headed there. I really have no experience with heaven or hell. It's just what I read in the scriptures and have faith to believe that it's there. I really have no experience with the judgment coming ahead of me, but I need to have faith to believe it, just like the things that I have seen around me. I have faith to believe in creation because I get to see the things that happen from it. I have no question in my mind that God made them all. I can just walk outside tomorrow and see all the things, and I read Genesis 1 and I have faith to believe it. I want to have that same faith to believe these other things that are out ahead for us. If I could put a title to what I want to share with you tonight, the title would be The Books Were Opened. And you probably know just with those four words and the things that we have been talking about up till now, where that would begin. So I'd like to go back there again as we start out. Revelations 20 and 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. You know, in the future, as I hear news reports of transgender, as I hear news reports of gay marriage and abortion and those kind of things, let's take this 11th verse and keep it in the picture of my mind. There's something coming. There really is coming a day when every knee is going to bow before God. This is that day. But the 12th verse says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. That's what I'm interested in looking at tonight. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You know, I would rather not get to that day, judgment day, before I find out what's written in my book. You know, it is possible, and that's the desire of the Lord with us each one, is that he would talk to us ahead of time to where that day holds no surprises for us. That each one of us would have dealt with the things that are in our book. That we would have listened to the Lord dealing with our hearts throughout our life, and that day would hold no surprises. You know what? That's his desire for us, that it would be no surprise. Plus, that it would not be something that I hadn't taken care of. So I would like to look at another verse in Revelations. I saw it today as I was studying this. Revelations 3. And 5. He's been speaking to one of the churches, and he says in the 5th verse, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And I looked at the church that he was talking to. He was talking to the church of Sardis, and he said, I know your works. You have a name that you're living, and you're dead. I would sure hate to have caught that news when I'm standing at judgment day. Dan, you had all your life, you had, you know what, We have been reading this week of people that are going to come up to that day and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And it's a surprise to them that he says, I never knew you. So to these folks, he's telling them ahead of time, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. But then at what I noticed from all of his messages to the churches, those that had correction that was needed, he spelled it out to them. And he also would tell them if there was anything positive that he had for them, he would talk about that positive. You've got these things going well for you. Now strengthen these other things. You know what he's doing? They're heading toward the day when the books are going to be opened. And it's going to be read off to them what they did with what they knew. And so as I looked at this, after he talks to them and gives them the things that they need to be able to be ready for that day, he tells them this verse, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot, folks, I don't want my name blotted out of the book of life. And I started looking at the seven churches, and to every one of them, he said this same part of the message, to him that overcometh. To him that overcometh, I'll do something for him. I believe that message is for all of us tonight. To him that overcometh. And what am I overcoming? I'll tell you what, the biggest thing, I might look around me and say it's the world around me. It's a lot of other things. But you know what? The very first thing I need to overcome is myself. And it's going to take, I look at the verse that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And yet I'm headed for the day when my books are going to be open. And I want to be able to, I want him to be able to show me in this life now where I stand and adjustments that I need to be able to make in my life. That when I stand before him and the books are open, I will have already taken care of those things because he's already shown them to me. He did that to each of the seven churches. He showed them there was only maybe a couple of them that did not need anything, just got approval ratings. The others, you remember where he's talked to the Laodiceans? You see yourself this way, but I see you a totally different way. But he didn't say it's all over, I'll meet you at the judgment. He told them, here's some things that you can do to correct it. And it's my desire that he would do that with me. So tonight I'm interested, how do I make sure my name is in the book of life? What is it going to take to be able to get it there? Because the religious world today tells me it is very easy to get your name there. And not only to get your name there, but once you get it there, you can never get it out of there. You will make heaven your home no matter what you do if you make a decision for Christ. But I find that the Word of God says something totally different than that. In fact, I was looking at the third chapter of John when Nicodemus came with some questions. And Jesus just gave him a real simple part of a verse. Ye must be born again. You know, sometimes the religious world will go through cycles of what they call important. But it seems like out in the religious world, it's been quite some time since I've heard the message, ye must be born again. It's going to take a change in your heart. But that's what it's going to take for me to be able to have my name written in the book of life. I must be born again. And I was looking at a verse over in Psalms 87 and 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish it. That's how my name is put into the book of life. I'm born there. And it made me look at a song, number 87. This song is, the person that wrote it has some confidence. They're not saying, I really hope my name will be there. But what they're saying is, my name is there. I know my name is there. Song number 87, the first verse, says, my name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife, and I read my title clear. And verse number 4, While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. And then that chorus, he just goes over and over. I know it's there. You know what? I want to have it more than just, I think it's there, or I know it's there, and I get there and the books are open and it's not there. I need his approval stamped on my life to be able to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I was looking at some places that tell me what it's going to take in Acts, because I'm not going to be able to do this on my own, and it was never intended that I would do it on my own. So I look over here in Acts 4 and the 12th verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what? This starts pointing me in a direction. There's only one way for me to be saved and have my name written in the book of life. Jesus is the way. It will always be that. There is another one that confirms it. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I need to remember, for me to have my name in the book of life, I'm going to have partaken of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. And I was looking at another verse in 1 John, the first chapter. First John 1 and 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. You know, for me to be able to have my name in the book of life, I'm going to have to be free from all sin. You know, the religious world around me says that is not possible. But you know what? If I happen to take that doctrine on and say, okay, I believe I'll make heaven with sin in my life, I just make a decision for Christ, you know what's going to happen? The day I stand before the Lord and the books are open, here's going to be one of the books. I'm going to be judged from the Word of God. That's why, to me, it is very important for me, for every minister, to say, let's find it in the Word of God. I don't want to give you my opinion, because you can have your own opinion. I won't be there when you stand before God. I won't be there to be able to say, you know what, we had talked about this in service and agreed it was this way. No, here's the way right here. And when I look at this, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's the stamp that I need. And it keeps me clean from all sin if I will allow it to do that. So as I looked at those, sometimes we can say, okay, do I have anything to do about it? Because when I look in Revelations, it says the thing that I'm going to be judged by is my works. And this is telling me it's the blood of Jesus that does it. So I was looking over here at Ephesians, the second chapter, because it tells us how we can balance it out. Second chapter of Ephesians and the 8th verse. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Okay, as I look at this in Revelations, and it says, I'm going to be judged by my works. So if I do a whole lot of effort about good works, can I make heaven my home? I could miss it. Because this says, I'm not saved by myself. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. What's the balance? Because I look at Revelations 20 and it says, I'm going to be judged because of my works. And this one says, it's by grace that I'm saved. You know what? There's a balance of the two of them together. Because I look at the very next verse, 10th verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, and me accepting that sacrifice, and his blood cleansing me from all sin, now good works are expected to come. But it's because of what he's done in my heart, not something all by myself. And there is another verse in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men. And the reason is I want them to see my good works. Now, that by itself doesn't sound so good, but that's what the verse says, that they may see your good works, but it doesn't end there. By seeing those good works, that they would glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That is the purpose of the works in our life after salvation, is that the world would be able to see there's a change comes about when Christ comes into a life. If any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. Old things are going to pass away, and all things are going to become new. As I see that I'm headed toward eternity, I'm headed toward this judgment day when I'm going to stand there. And really, this is just kind of a picture for me to be able to understand, because I don't think he's going to have to take a literal book and thumb through the pages to be able to see where I stand before him. But it's intended to give me a picture that he knows everything. There's not it. You remember where it? We've read it several times, maybe this week in Ecclesiastes, as it finishes out. He's going to bring every work into judgment. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. He's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's all going to be in this book. It's all going to be what he knows about me. You know what? I would like for there to be some good things in there when I stand before him. Not good of myself, but good because Christ has come and living in me, and I am now able to have some good works that bring glory to him. It gave a plural, that there's more than one book. It says the books were open. And I found another book this morning. I'd like to take a look at it. It's right at the very last of the Old Testament. What if this happened to be one of the books that will be there? In Malachi 3, Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now that's quite a verse there. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know, I think about our times of having prayer meeting. Sometimes maybe it does just seem like there's not too many together. Are we really able to do much to help each other? Think about this. What if our opportunities to be together and speak to each other and encourage one another, come on, let's keep faithful. We're going to make it. Let's encourage each other to be faithful and make it. And the Lord hearkened and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. There's a book written, and he jots down, you know what? Their thoughts are on me. It says it here at the last. It was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. One of the messages we had this week was our thoughts, where they want to run. What if I was able to harness them and spend a lot more time thinking about God? I wonder how much it would increase what I have in this book right here. This book of remembrance that he has of them that thought upon his name. Wonder how many hours could I build up. And this is not about me buying eternal life. This is about me seeing the value of putting everything into this, that I'd be able to make heaven my home, that I'd be able to take advantage. Remember the verse that we had, lest Satan should take advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices, nor is God ignorant of his devices. And God realizes how important it is for us to spend time speaking to one another, encouraging each other, Because I want to tell you, the world around us is not going to encourage us to be ready for eternity. They don't even expect it to happen. And yet, I see this one here. And so I think of for myself, Lord, help me out in the future to spend more time with my thoughts upon you. And let me remember this verse right here. What if God was jotting down the time that I spent thinking upon his name? I'd like to be able to have that as one of the books he opens up at the end and says, you know what? This is probably one of the things that helped you, is the time you spent thinking about me, reading and praying. So the next time the Lord kind of deals with you, nudges you a little bit about you're getting too busy, why don't you stop and read and pray? Remember this verse and say, okay, I'd like to put some more over in that bank account on the other side. Because you remember the verse says, if you then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. See, that's this verse right here. This is not somebody telling us, okay, this week everybody go home and you must spend 45 minutes praying, reading. This is something from the heart. It's a desire. It's springing up. It's something that I want to be able to have. So then when we read the verse that says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The day when I'm going to stand before God and some books are going to be open and I'm going to be judged. And you know, some of the best time in my life that I can help to prepare for that is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Coming out to hear the word of God, it might be just the thing I needed to be able to reveal to me something that is in my books that I need to take care of before I stand before him. Whether we are in a church service with several others or whether I'm by myself, I like to look at this one in Psalms. It is the very first chapter of Psalms. Starts off with a blessed. It says, blessed is the man. See, this man has got some choices that he's making. He's turning aside from some things that would take up some of his time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he is doing something with his time. You know, there's something I'm reminded of right here. You know, we can reject a lot of things. We can put a lot of things out of our life. And it makes me think of the story. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh about in dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to see what's the condition of that person that I just left. And it says he came back and he found him empty, swept and garnished. And it says he went out and he got seven other spirits worse than himself. Said the last end of that man was worse than the first. There is something I need to realize. As I resist the wrong around me, I need to fill those voids with something else. This man in Psalms 1 did that. When that evil spirit would want to come back around, because see, this man had resisted some things that could have taken up an abode with him. He resisted them. When they come back around, they find, you know what, there's no vacancy here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Boy, I'd love to have that of a reminder when I stand before God. Dan, I tell you, your heart was turned toward me throughout your life when you could have spent it on something else. There was a lot of times that you would meditate on me day and night. I would like that to be my testimony. But I tell you what, that doesn't just happen. It takes me bringing into captivity some thoughts. This is not a straitjacket. This is not fanaticism. This is when I get a picture of eternity. And if I miss it, If I got so busy with the cares of this life that day came upon me unaware, and there were some things in my books that God wanted to be able to show me ahead of time, but I did not have the time for it. You know, the devil knows that, and God knows that. So I think what God wants to do with us all tonight is just draw us closer to Him. For Him to even be willing to show me changes that I need to make in my life before I stand before Him headed for eternity tells me a whole lot about His love for me. He's not willing that any would perish. He doesn't want me to perish. He wants me to be able to make heaven my home. So there was another verse in Psalms. As I look at it this way, now I want to take a look at this verse in Psalms 27 and 8. You ever had a time when the Lord talks to you about being too busy, needing to take more time for Him? And maybe I'm in a revival meeting, and I say, you know what, I'm going to do that. And I can be like that man that beheld his face in a glass, and he went away and he forgot, just got back to the same things. And I'm not talking about sinful things. You know, if it's sinful things, I would be able to recognize it. But it's the legal things of life that can catch me and get me too busy. And so here, this verse says, when thou said, seek my face, I got a choice I'm going to do about it. This one says, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is what I want to be able to have active in my life. Lord, I am looking forward to another visit with you. As the world gets darker, I'm going to need it more and more. That song where we sing Alone with God, the world forbidden, I need to find those times in my life, because all of us are heading toward eternity. And there will be nothing more important than my book being clear when I stand before Him. So here's another verse, Psalms 19 and 14. We've had it already. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, the things that I think about throughout the day, Lord, I'd like for you to stamp your approval on them now, because I don't want it to be over in my book at the end where the Lord said, I tried to show you time after time, but you did not listen, and now we have a problem. There is something else for me to remember. It says the dead were judged according to their works. And I was looking at a verse in Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Many people use that verse and say that is the reason that we cannot live free from sin. It just says right there, all have done it. They've come short of the glory of God. And that is true. Every one of us have had sin stamped in the book of life. You know what? It could have come with a child. I was thinking, we don't hear too much about this anymore. But we hear about that. In the past, we used to hear about the age of accountability. The time when a small child knows nothing about sin, and they are, if they died, they would go right to heaven. But there comes a time in a person's life when now the Lord starts pricking and an understanding starts coming. You remember with David, when he did his sin, I've thought about his verse before where he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Well, no, he sinned against some others. But you know what was happening was he realized how much he had sinned against God. And it was his focus was there. And that's what happens with a child. To come to a place where, you know what, this is no longer just between me and mom and dad, but this is God that I'm displeasing here. And in their mind to start saying, you know what, I'm also headed for eternity. And there are graves that are all different lengths out in a cemetery. I do not have a promise of tomorrow. I am headed for eternity. And for a child himself to realize, you know what? I got sin in my life. I need to take care of it. And there is a place that we can do that. I was looking at another verse in 1 John. 1 John 1 and 8. 1 John 1 and 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, when Jesus was here and he was talking to the people about how much they were going to need this, they were saying, we don't need it. We're living good ourselves. There are people that, if we say that we have no sin, there are a lot of people that say, you know what, I'm living a good life. I don't hurt anybody. I don't cheat anybody. And you know, really, it would seem like the rich man would have fallen into that category. It doesn't say that he did any wicked things, but there was something that he lacked that caused him to be lost. There was something in his book that he had to stand before God with. And so this one, we are not going to be able to say that we haven't sinned. I need a Savior. But this next verse is my answer, the ninth verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness in the past, and able to give me the power to resist all opportunities for it in the future. From now to the day I stand before God and he opens up that book that has my name on it. I looked at another verse over in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, and in the 21st verse. This tells me how much God desires for every one of us to make heaven our home. It says, if the wicked shall turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Something I looked at, I saw with this in the first part of that 22nd verse. Doesn't matter how wicked he has been. It says all of his transgressions that he hath committed, they're not in the book. The book has been cleared. The book is clean. And why? Because the wicked turned from his sins that he hath committed, and now it's clear and clean. I am so thankful for salvation. I am so glad that God doesn't come back next week and say, but do you remember what you did a long time ago? Yes, I forgave you, but I want you to keep on remembering. I'm going to keep on bringing it up to you. He doesn't do that. In fact, I've got another verse in Psalms 103. Excuse me. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, if you could measure east from west and get a measurement on that, it just keeps continuing. Thought about when we went to India. It's almost exactly on the other side of the globe. From where we are in Oklahoma, you could just about go either way, and it's about the same distance. You know what? If you're trying to measure the east from the west, you'll just keep on going. There's not a stopping point for it. And that's what he allows with our sins. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed those from us. And tonight I am very thankful. I'd like to look at another verse in Psalms, in song number 87. That second verse, my name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record. But by his blood, the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll. What does it take for me to have my name in the book of life? Salvation did it for us. I cannot do it on my own. It's not going to be works of my own that I can boast of that I've been able to do it. There are people that give millions of dollars to charity. You would think that ought to do it. You know what? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That is the first thing that he's going to look for when he opens those books. Has the blood of Christ been applied to your heart? And then, what have you done with it after it was applied? I have one more verse I want to look at. And I would sure like to hear these words. Matthew 25 and 34. But I'd like to back up just a little bit. This is almost the same picture that we have in Revelations 20. In the 31st verse, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Look at this 34th verse. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is what he would like to say to every one of us when it comes my time to stand before him in the judgment. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven forever. I was looking at some of the descriptions that it tried to give of heaven. Some of those, if we had them on earth, I would feel like it's heaven on earth. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no sin up there. It's going to be a blessed place to be. And I want to make it there myself. There's a song I'd like to sing. I need you to sing it with me. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. God wants there to be no surprises for us when we stand before Him on that day. There's some prayers that I can pray between now and then, and if I mean them from my heart, there will be no surprises for me on that day. This is one prayer I would like to always keep before me. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Down inside of me where my desires come from, after thoughts have been processed, and now they turn into desires. Lord, search that area. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, Lord. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, those things that nobody else even knows, but they're churning in my head. Lord, check them out. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, when you open up those books, I don't want there to be any surprises. I want you to have shown me the places in my life I need to change, and I want to have made those changes. I appreciate having been with y'all this week. I desire that the Lord would walk with each one of us daily, close enough that we will have no surprises when He opens those books. Pray for me.